Blog Talk Radio.
The Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and Attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, presents The Michael Van Tool Show with jazz poet Michael Van Tool. Attorney Johnny Hawkins, also known as the Warrior Lawyer, is a nationally recognized personal injury expert, also specializing in serious trucking and auto-related accidents, police misconduct, civil litigation, and probate law. Call the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, today at 248-567-9990. The Michael Van Tool Show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in business support services dedicated to building your customer base. Call 248-516-8300. And now, CAF Tech graduate, former banker, community worker, published author, and recording artist, Michael Van Tool.
Good morning. This is the Michael Van Tool Show, Detroit Sunday Morning News and Information Podcast, produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group and brought to you by the Warrior Lawyer, Johnny Hawkins, Trillion Realty, and Principal Broker, Shantae Mosby, and Cosine Productions, and Dykema Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a very engaging guest on the program. We are live in the studio in Southfield today. Leon Benson, freed after 25 years of wrongful imprisonment in Indiana. We're going to be talking to him. Good morning, Mr. Benson.
Hey, how you doing today, Michael?
Great. Glad you're here with us. And we're going to delve into your case and talk about that. Remember, we have news, weather, the Sunday morning team, commentary, all that this morning on the Michael Van Tool Show. And let's go with the Sunday morning team is going to be chiming in as we go. But the first member of the team, Kimberly Batchelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, author, speaker, podcaster. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning to our guest this morning. Good morning to missionary Hattie Humphrey. Good morning to our amazing Sunday morning team, and shout out to the city of Detroit. Good morning.
Great. What an intro, man. That was great. Full of energy and excitement. Thank you so much. I spoke with Minister and Randall Smith this morning. I think he'll be chiming in a few minutes along with the rest of the team. Of course, this is the home of missionary Hattie Humphrey. You'll find her here on Sunday mornings. Nurse Mickey, registered nurse, holistic health and wellness coach, consultant, and health enthusiast, and author of the segment that we're going to be listening to in a few minutes, Selfishly Healthy. Good morning, Nurse Nikki.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Sunday morning team. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is, and we're going to hear from Kimberly in a minute about the weather. Henrietta Ivey, political analyst, home care advocate. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. Shout out to missionary Hattie Humphrey. I love you and we miss you. Good morning, Sunday morning team, and good morning to all the listeners in Detroit.
Great. I am so excited. We are raring to go. We're going to take a station break when we come back. Leon Benson is here in Southfield in the studio this morning. We're talking to him about his the trials and tribulations that he's been through, and now that he's here, what he has planned for the future. We're going to be talking to him. We'll be right back after these messages.
This segment of programming is brought to you by Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency, specializing in business insurance. As your business evolves, so will your risk. Sharp & Associates will identify potential risk to your business and explore insurance options. A plan will be customized based on the specific needs of your business. In addition, Sharp specializes in auto, home, medical, life, and health insurance. Whatever your needs, we provide a wide range of insurance products to choose from. Protect your company and your livelihood for the long term with Sharp & Associates Insurance Agency. Contact us now at 833-668-0086 or go to our website, sharp-insurance.com. Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990. And now a message from jazz poet Michael Van Tool.
Hi, my name is Michael Van Tool. Let's talk for a minute. I believe in Detroit. I spent 32 years as your neighborhood banker. But now I form Michigan Ocean Strategy Group to bring three affordable business services directly to you. Number one, radio advertising and production services. Number two, customized business services and workshops. And number three, political and public relations. So call me and share your vision. My office number is 248-516-8300. But look, I can't do any of this business stuff without shining a light on our community. It's who I am. It's a part of me. There are people who desperately need our help. And there are people who work hard every day. And there are volunteers who provide resources and opportunities to those in need. You see, I believe in our community. I believe in you. And we can believe in each other. We are one. One community, one neighborhood, one city. Let's live and work together. My name is Michael Van Tool. We are all one Detroit.
If you would like to share your vision for Detroit with Michael Van Tool, call 248-516-8300. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the Law Office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
All right, we're back. We're here with Leon Denison, after 25 years in Indiana, wrongful imprisonment. Before we go, let me welcome Minister and gospel artist Randall Smith. Good morning, Bishop Elect. You there?
Yeah, you just can't do well, Ken.
There you are. I just want to make sure that we got your title covered, you know.
good morning, right. Everybody.
The team is here. Everybody's here. Great, great, great to hear you this morning, Minister. All right. Well, in the studio live with me, Leon Benson. Good morning and welcome to the Michael Van Tool Show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, first off, what a trial you've been through, all these years. You're out, you're free now. Let's start at the beginning. What happened? How did you get into this situation where you were imprisoned in Indiana? You're from Detroit. Matter of fact, they called you Detroit. That was your nickname.
Yeah.
Well, tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I want to say this. I'm originally from Flint, but, you know, going down to Indianapolis, Indiana, you know, for all my Detroiters and Michiganians out there, it's true. Well, you got to carry the D on your back because they're going to call you Detroit. So that's what they call me down there, no matter how I tried to get out the way of it. But being down there, you know, I moved down there to do, professional painting and home renovation, things of that nature. And unfortunately, in the neighborhood that I was dwelling in, an individual got shot down and murdered. Cold blood, you know. At the time I was in the neighborhood, I was known through the neighborhood as Detroit. So because, you know, I was from out of town and I carried something that I didn't know, unforgivable blackness that come from Detroit. You know, people looked at Detroit as the Mecca. When you go to Indiana, it was a lot different than what we got going on here. You know, we got a big community of black excellence here in Detroit and throughout Michigan. So because of that background, you know, I was discriminated against, and it was false witnesses that was put on me saying I committed a crime I didn't commit. And come to find out, I was set up.
Why did they lie? What was behind that? Were they just trying to save themselves, or, you know, why would they set you up like that, and who?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we still deal with one of our biggest social diseases, racism.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the victim, and definitely I got condolences to his family and everybody, but he was white.
Mm.
And the thing about, you know, white on black or cross race crimes, they very rare. And since that happened, it caused what you call a moral panic in the community. So the prosecution got overzealous, the police got overzealous with their investigation and prosecuting. Somebody had to pay, and unfortunately, that person was me.
You know, that sounds like something out the Wild Wild West. You know, you see some of these old cowboy movies, and somebody gets hurt, and then they get this posse together, all the townspeople go, they try to find, and no matter who it is, they'll try to find somebody gonna hang for this. They don't care who it is. And it sounds like the same type of mob mentality, you know, in the modern day, where they just go after whoever they could find.
Oh, you exactly right. Mm-hmm. I can really label this situation as a modern day legal lynching.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not the only victim. You know, it's a lot of other people who are poor and who are people of color who are falling victim to this vigilante justice that's happening in the courtrooms.
So after the lies and set up and the DA, they're all trying to find somebody. You got convicted and sentenced. What were you convicted of, and what was your sentence?
I was convicted of first degree murder and carrying a handgun without a license, and I was sentenced to 60 years in prison.
Wow, 60 years.
Yeah.
Wow. You wouldn't have been out now.
I wouldn't have been out now 60 years.
Wow. How did you feel? You know, I could just imagine most people will be that day. They'll be angry at everybody. How did you feel when that verdict came down?
When that verdict came down, I was devastated. I was broken into a million pieces is a way that I can explain it. You know, being a young man at 23 years old, you know, you really don't have a concept of time. You know, everybody that's older like us, we know about that
time. Yeah, I'm a little older now.
Right,
yeah.
When you're 23, you don't know what it is to be 30. So
right.
60 years is like
right.
an
30,
eternity.
If you're 23, 30 is old.
30 is old, so... You know, that was a heavy weight that was put upon me, you know, and my family. So, you know, me going through the process, you know, I suffered what you call delusions of reprieve. You know, I often sat in my bunk with my boots on, with my coat on, guys, other prisoners say, why are you doing that? I say, man, they're going to come get me any day, you know, right? But that didn't happen. Mm. And I went through a process of anger, what I like to call the five stages of acceptance. We know it as the five stages of grief. And I went through those stages, you know, of denial, of bargaining, anger, depression, you know. And, you know, for me, you know, the two biggest things that really saved me, and I want to get a little biblical, you know, with the listeners out there.
Mm.
You know, we read in the Bible and it says, the truth shall set you free. So I'm like, what? So one thing, I had the truth the whole time. So I developed a mantra called truth never dies. It's only we discover. But, you know, I got really, you know, spiritual. And I realized in that situation that it is a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
That's what, you know, got me through, you know, with that understanding and just the practice of that spirituality while in that pain.
So after you were in there for a number of years, when was there a serious attempt to get you out, and how did that start? Who helped you?
From day one, you know, I was fighting, but you know, in this particular fight, it's about relationships. It's about who you know, not what you know.
Right.
And that's really true here. And, you know, towards the end, you know, praise the Most High, you know, in the course of my struggles, I encountered a very special supporter by the name of Shannon Coleman. She's a basketball mom out of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she, you know, helped connect me with the right people. I eventually touched bases with the Indianapolis Conviction Integrity Unit.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, Shannon connected me to the San Francisco School of Law, the director of the Racial Justice Clinic, which is Laura.
So it was more than one person. It was multiple parties that came together to help you to get out of there.
Yeah, eventually in the end, it was. You know, even in the end, a judge by the name of Citrice Flowers, right? I'm going to be real with your listeners. When I found out that this was the judge that was hearing my case just with that name.
What was her name?
Her name was Citrice
Flowers,
right?
Oh,
Citrice.
Okay.
I'm like, a judge named Citrice? I'm like, I'm going home, right? I'm going home. Y'all
man,
tripping.
It's little things like that, you
right?
know?
And I wanna also, you know, say rest in power to Citrice Flowers, who unfortunately died in November of 2023. I never had a chance to meet this woman. She was a young judge. She was an African-American judge in Indianapolis, Indiana. And, you know, that decision was very big because she went against all her conservative constituents, and she made the right move.
Wow. I'm just... You know, that's what a story already. I mean, you're just halfway through it. And even that component with the judge who stepped in and now is not with us. So then, you know, you obviously getting more excited now. And how did you feel and how did you learn that the decision came down that you're free? How did that happen? I know you remember the day and the time.
Yeah, definitely. So we had it. It was in a process for several months, and you know we was having setbacks and everything. So, like I said, you know I had the faith with me from all the hard work, and you know I just was being patient, and just out of the blue, you know I was called, you know, to the front office in a prison, and they said, man, you released. I had actually been released the day before. I mean, granted my freedom the day before, but I was released, you know, later. So, you know, when that process came down, it was surreal, you know.
I know you were excited, but go into a little detail on how it was when you walked out and what were you feeling, you know, from all those days of just being depressed and sad and, you know, sometimes hopeless. To now, did it feel like you won $1 billion? How did it feel?
Hey, I really felt like I won $1 billion. You know, you guys, you can go to YouTube and you can look it up and you can see me walk out the door.
Oh, it is on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Well, we'll have to check it out.
I walk out the door and it's like I'm leaving out this dark place into light. So it's representative of a rebirth. It's like I was reborn. And when I came back to the world, I seen like all my angels, you know, the people who was messengers and helpers of me, you know, my team, they was there. And it was so surreal, you know. I feel so thankful. The first thing I did was praise the Most High when I got out, you know.
Yes, because you know that he was the one behind it all. You have a special guest with you here in the studio, Crystal Lee. Just wanted to mention that. Who is this young lady?
This is the Dr. Crystal Lee Crane. You know, she's a radical professor and happens to be my partner, which I feel very, you know, lucky to. I feel blessed by the Most High, you know, to have her on my side as well, my co-creator.
And very smart. She's actually here reading. Okay, that's wonderful. You know, she's not on her smartphone. She's actually reading a book and listening to the interview here. Before I open it up for questions from the Sunday morning team, I want to talk now a little bit about what you're doing now. It's like before you went in, I don't know if you had a plan for life, a mission, but now you do. Tell us about what you're doing now. And, you know, I told you I write poetry. The first poem in my book is about legacy, about why I do what I do, because I don't want to be 99 years old sitting in the nursing home with the nurse pushing me up in front of Jeopardy, regretting that I didn't do what I could have done. You know, I don't want to sit there and regret, because I have the energy, the mental capabilities, the strength, the wisdom. I can do stuff now with all the gifts that God gave me. Do it now. What is your mission now, and how do you feel about your responsibility, spiritual responsibility?
Well, hey, you make a great point, Michael. And just like you, I feel the same way. You know, on the inside, I developed an approach to life that I call the way of the hermit crab. The hermit crab is like the only sea animal that has to discard its shell, because if it keep growing, it'll suffocate, only to roam the ocean floor, vulnerable to predators, until it gets to a bigger shell.
Wow.
But I liken this to us. When we grow, we got to grow outside of ourselves. We got to have that growth mindset, not a fixed mindset. And one of the things about being in a situation that I was in, just like yours, Michael, and many other people, I was confronted with legacy. I'm like, will I be in prison forever?
Right.
I need to do something. You know, I studied the ancient Egyptians, and I seen the stuff and legacy that they left. I'm like, can I leave a legacy?
Right, right.
Where my name go? Mm-hmm. And what I realized, a name is more precious than gold.
Mm.
And I said, I'm going to make sure my name live by the good deeds that I do. So on the inside, I did good things with people that was around me. Maya Angelou once said, you will forget what people told you. You will forget what they did to you, but you will never forget how they made you feel. And I wanted to make people feel encouraged, people feeling empowered. And the only way to do that was through education and through my work of art and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm an artist, you know, I'm a teacher, you know, I'm a therapist, man, I'm many things in one. But the mission is to ensure that truth continues when it's being blocked, however that may happen, or how I'm on the ground to do that. That's what I'm trying to do.
The truth has got to come out.
It got to come out.
Yes, yes. I'm going to go down the Sunday morning team, the list here. You've got an event coming up in Indianapolis on Friday, March the 8th, with just under 2 weeks from now. And this is part of that rebirth of Leon Benson. Tell us about what you're going to be doing at this discussion, panel discussion and celebration.
Well, definitely it's called Common Unity, the Rebirth of Leon Benson. Common Unity, when you put common unity together, it equals community. That means we got to have a common unity. If we can agree upon that we all want love, that we all want justice, that we all want peace, that's a common unity. So I'm bringing this back to the city of Indianapolis to have this panel discussion to highlight that it's only one conviction integrity unit in the state of Indiana, and we need more. And I want to highlight that it's more and it's bigger than just Leon Benson. It's other people who are wrongfully incarcerated, trapped in the system. And I know these people in Indiana and otherwise. So I want to bring this together to highlight this for the community of Indianapolis and also show my gratitude.
And you're going right back into where it started, going back into the lion's den.
The lion's den.
Because that's where the problems are. You know, when I drive through Indianapolis, it looks so pretty. It looks so nice. I'm on the outside going down, 69? Through Indiana. Sometimes when I go down to south or go to St. Louis, I pass around Indianapolis, and it looks so nice and all that. But there's some problems, just like Detroit has problems. But you're going right back in there to deal with it and confront the issues, because this stuff's still going on. I know you've texted me about three other incidences of wrongful imprisonment or harassment. That's, it's still going on.
It's still going on. And one of the biggest things here, let me tell you my level of gratitude while I'm coming back. At some point, I was sitting in the lowest part of prison. The lowest part, I was in solitary confinement for a decade, and I was raging. I was like, man, I shouldn't be here.
Wow.
I'm mad, you know, and it just dawned on me. It was like, wow, Casey Shane, the victim, he's gone, but I'm here.
Right.
I'm like, wow. So one of the big things is his injustice still lives on.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And the Indianapolis police, they know who murdered Casey Shane, but they refused to prosecute. And this brother, Casey Shane, and his family, Colleen Shane, with great compassion and power, she has reconciled with me.
So even his family
is on my side. They support me now.
Wow.
Because they love one is deceased. And he if he don't get justice, I really don't get justice.
Right.
Right.
And you know, it goes both ways. You care about the family now because you want justice for them, too.
Of course.
Right. This is so deep. Let me go to the Sunday morning team. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, you have a comment or a question for Leon Benson?
I have lots of questions. But first, let me say to you, Mr. Benson.
I just know there's a ton of questions out here. Go ahead.
There's a ton. I have two questions for you. But before we get to that, let me just say thank you for sharing your story. This is powerful, just absolutely powerful. And I am so proud of you and what you are doing to help other people, because this is how you live your truth. My first question, and I know that this was a wrongful conviction. Was there anything that you specifically did in the beginning that sort of propelled you down this path that you would tell young people today who may be listening or their parents to talk to them to steer them away from this path?
Good question.
That's a great question. Yeah. I would say one, you know, watch the people you hang with.
Oh,
watch
wow.
the areas you hang in.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, just be prepared for those things. That's the biggest thing, you know, control your thoughts, because your thoughts become habits. You know, control your habits, because your habits become character. And if your character is embedded, it becomes a destiny. And what I'm saying is, you know, as young people, we think we know everything, but the truth of the matter is we are young and we need that guidance from our parents and from other people. So I would say, you know, stay away from the wrong crowds and stay away from the wrong areas that will make you more susceptible to being wrongfully.
And let me just say something, Kimberly. I remember I was at a party one night and there was a little scuffle on the dance floor. Somebody bumped into somebody. And, of course, it carried out into the parking lot. They ran into each other again, and one of them shot the other one. And everybody ran out the club to go see it. And I remember that I'll never do that again. I'll never go towards the problem. I went towards it. I went over to the car because he was shot in the car. And I stood near the window, looked in. You could smell the gunfire. You could see the blood, all that kind of stuff. And the police came, and they started questioning me.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I was just inside like everybody else and came out just to watch. But, you know, they wanted somebody. I walked away. When the officer turned around to deal with, because it was a big crowd out there, I slipped out. And I said, never again will I go towards, when I see flashing lights, when I see a fight, when I see all that, I'm going the other way. I'm not getting
that's right.
into that.
And I add one more thing, too. That's the part for you not to get to the police station as best as you can. You don't want to get
don't
there.
Even,
right. You don't want to do that. But And let me say this too, because I don't want to make it like it was my fault. Because
right,
it's
right.
many people, you can hang who you want to hang with, but mm-hmm. we know that it's a
you
cause
can,
and effect.
Right.
But people who are wrongfully yeah. incarcerated, and it can happen to anybody.
Right. You can do everything right.
That's
and
right.
Still be, mm-hmm.
and still
do everything
be doing,
right and still be picked up.
Be picked up.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. if you go into mm-hmm. that station, one of my biggest lessons with dealing with law authorities is to say, give me a lawyer.
Mm.
Do not
Very
try
good.
To explain
Excellent.
Yourself.
Okay.
Don't try to
mm-hmm.
explain yourself whether you – and being innocent, it can put you on a path like, oh, man, you know, I'm innocent. You know,
right.
this is what I was doing, this and
right.
that. Hey, look, I did that, and they created a scenario that was false
wow.
and sent me to
yep.
prison.
Mm-hmm.
So ask for your lawyer.
Yeah. What's your second
yes.
question?
And my second question is, because you brought up a great point in your story at the end, you said you were in solitary confinement for 10 years, and you had a moment where you realized that the gentleman who was killed was no longer here, but you were. Can you talk a little bit about how you maintained your sanity in a place
oh, I
like
asked
that?
Him that already. That was one thing. How did you get through it? Yeah, tell us. How did you hold on to reality?
Well, you know, one thing what I learned, when you put in a situation like solitary confinement, well, you got to deal with yourself.
Mm.
So now the biggest fight, even though things is going on around you, you know, people are losing their minds around you over the range. You can hear their voices. You can't see them. You know, guards are beating prisoners.
Mm.
All these things are going on. So you have to go within. And going within, whether I'm innocent, in which I was absolutely innocent, no human being is an innocent human being. So I start looking at myself in the mirror,
mm.
and I had to get past my own seven devils to get to God. You know, my arrogance. I'm like, man, I was really arrogant.
Mm.
You know, my selfishness. I'm like, man, I could have gave a little bit more,
wow.
you know, and you start just really just picking yourself apart,
mm.
you know, in that moment, trying to be a better human being. And I made the choice to do that self-development. You know, I read books. So solitary confinement wasn't solitary confinement anymore. You know, I transmuted that space into a university, into
wow.
a legal clinic, into a workout space,
mm.
right, into
wow.
a tabernacle. You know what I mean? Hallelujah, you know?
Yes. Oh my God. That's preaching,
that's amazing.
Man.
That is.
Yeah.
Thank
Nurse
you.
Nikki, you got
Thank
a question or comment for Leon Benson?
Oh, I'm just sitting here really processing everything. You hear about these stories, and then to have it, you know, in your face through life, someone has experienced it, you know, it's unfortunate. And like you, I'm listening to what you just said about how you turn your space into a tabernacle and
mm-hmm.
made the best out of where you were at. You know, and it reminds me of a book I read called The Untethered Soul, and it says how to be happy despite your circumstances. And that really is looking at yourself from the perspective of the observer. And so, you know, I guess my question is how did you go outside of yourself to then see and find yourself?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you for asking me that. Great book, by the way, that you mentioned. I would say first for me, I started from within and went out, and then came without back ends, you
mm-hmm.
know, so I had to start with where I was at and work my way out of that. So I worked my way out of Flint, Michigan, to Detroit, to Atlanta, and to Indianapolis, all the way through the United States, through histories, the stuff that we've been through, all the way to the great civilization of Sumer and Egypt. And I was like, wow. And then I finally came back. Now I can see myself.
So you went on a trip,
right?
Basically.
I went on a trip with Ben.
Mental trip, yeah.
And then I came back. So then I was able to get outside of myself. That's one. The second one is, you know, I became a jailhouse lawyer while I was on the inside, you know, studying my case. I helped so many other, you know, brothers,
mm.
you know, around me. But one thing about, you know, really litigating your case, you got to get outside of yourself. So I had to look at myself in third person. Well, Leon Benson was on the scene, and he did this and that. That was the only way I could do it to really be objective. But that helped me stay outside of myself as well.
Did you have another question, Nurse Nikki?
No, I'm glad that he said that. Actually, I've been posting all week about go within. You know,
yes,
you have to go
I noticed
you
here. Have. I've been reading some of your posts, and you know, mental health health is not just physical; it's also mental, and it comes together. I noticed you do blend it, and as we can see in this case, it is reality that it does work. Henrietta Ivy, got a question or comment for Leon Benson?
Oh my goodness! I have to hover over what Kim said in the very beginning. I second all that she said. It is good that you have made it out of there as an innocent man. It is great that there were people in your corner who figured out that something wasn't right. And it's amazing to have you sitting here with us this morning, telling us about your story of courage, determination. And it helped you to put you where you are now. And it is amazing to know that you are continuing this journey to help others who are wrongfully in prison, and maybe those who are in prison but being wrongfully treated in prison. So I have three questions for you, Mr. Leon. And one of them is, excuse me, what do you think about the Good Time Bill on the political level? Do you think that's a bill that can help incarcerated men and women wrongfully or convicted of a crime? How does that affect them, and what can they expect to do to help themselves be better while they are incarcerated? That's the first question. And then I have the second question would be, what was the evidence that ultimately led to your release, your freedom, and the late judge, God bless her, may she continue to rest in power, that she saw that everybody else seemed to have missed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for your questions. You said three, but I heard you say two, so I'm going to answer those two questions.
Combine the two together to keep it a short sentence. It may make it short.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for your question. So the Good Time Bill. So one thing about the Good Time Bill that I've been able to study since I've been in Michigan back home, and I've been lobbying down there in Lansing, you know, for this Good Time Bill, you know, definitely you want a Good Time Bill because it allows, you know, people on the inside that to work towards something, you know, while they there, opposed to like the parole board. So they'd be working towards knocking down, you know, their sentence. You know, people need to be redeemed. The thing about our system right now, it's a system of retribution. Come on, it's no rehabilitation by throwing somebody in prison leaving them there.
Right.
That's useless. Mm-hmm. So we need some restorative justice, some healing justice. And I really strongly believe and I support that the Good Time Bill is going more towards the healing justice and restorative justice aspect. And to your second question, the evidence. So here's the thing about my case that's odd. Well, the evidence was there the whole time. It was an eyewitness that came forward from the beginning. That said, this is the person who did it. But here's the thing, and I want to highlight, right? And I want to highlight this. It was just like what Michael said, you know, a vigilante mob coming through. We had that moral panic that was going on. And I hate to say it, but I got to be true because we got to be, I love our society. Justice is social love. You showing love to the collective when you show justice. So in this situation, you had a white eyewitness that said they seen me, but they said the person was dark-skinned. And you had this three other witnesses that said they seen somebody else, but they were black. So the word of a white person here, man, in the 21st century still outweighs.
It still outweighs
the word of a person. Right? So so what happened, the big highlight was we had the right people that get on the case. And so happened the San Francisco School of Law people, they were white. They were conscious. They ahead of the justice clinic. But they understand what's going on with our people, all people, humanity. But one of the biggest things that came out was the detective, he withheld evidence of a confidential informant that reached out to a drug detective saying, I was on the scene with the killer, and this is who did the crime. And he withheld that.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that is...
But their rush to judgment really was that stigma. Let's just lock up the black man, even though they had
evidence.
Yeah, they just wanted somebody.
That put you not the murderer. They didn't care. On a political level, how do we change that? As you know, your story is so powerful, and I'm an activist in the community, so I understand how, you know, making sure things that need to be done right needs to be done right, and those who are supposed to be in leadership need to pay attention to that. What do you think leadership needs to do as far as political leaders when it comes to black men and women being wrongfully incarcerated? How do they fit into this puzzle to make sure these types of things don't happen? Because you mentioned one thing, and I know that happens all the time. It's always somebody else who rescues us. But we have black leadership that can do the same thing, and I, for the life of me, can't understand why they don't push for the same things the opposite push for us. How do we, and what do you think we need to change politically for black leaders as far as making sure they are truthfully saying they're going to do what they say they're going to do when they get into office? And how do we keep holding them accountable? What is your thoughts on that?
So one thing, you know, as a community, we must always hold our political and social officials accountable. But one of the things that I say on both sides, the black aisle and the white aisle, or whatever color aisle, is a thing called cultural humility. Cultural humility is a training that can show people how to deal with people, how to separate this classism, this genderism, this racism. And we need to hold ourselves accountable. See, implicit bias is real with everybody. You know, somebody will say, oh, you're from the east side, I'm from the west side, so we different. That's implicit bias. You know, you went to a certain school that I didn't go to, implicit bias. So we don't need what I call personally agenda politics. We need to have people who are more invested with the people in the community and what needs to, you know, help the community, city, and state move forward. And I would tell people, hey, I get this presidential election and all that. Let's focus on our people here with our local politics and see what they're doing and see how they on the ground doing the things they need to do. So it's a protracted struggle. It's not something that'll happen overnight, but this is something that we got to put these institutions and things in place. And I will say again, cultural humility. We need to have our officials trained on all levels, police, prosecutors, judges, attorneys, as well as, you know, other social officials, so we can have that level of self-accountability that can help us get towards a better collective accountability.
And that's what this community panel discussion is going to be in Indianapolis. That's what that's all about too, right? Is what we can do in the community to fight back against this. We just got a couple more minutes left in this segment. Minister Randall Smith, you got a question or comment for Leon Benson?
Yes, sir. My brother, I hear everything that you've gone through. All I would like to say is that I want to support you. We have a, I'm doing two things at once. I can't chew gum. I want to. I'm sorry.
We can come back to you.
I'm here now. Real quick. We would like to do something like that in Michigan. Me and Mr. Van Tool had a meeting last week, and the Lord delay is coming. We're coming up to, we're going to have a space pretty soon, and I would like to support you. We'd like to do that because so many of our young men are dying and not without a, they don't have a forefront. They don't have anyone to support. And we'd like to get behind you. We'd like to put something together. We can get into, we can talk a bit further. I'd love to do that.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, Minister Smith, because I'm sure we have an all-star Sunday morning team, and that's part of you being here this morning. You know, we definitely are excited about what has happened with you getting out. My last question is, I just read where somebody got $10 million last week for, you know, wrongful imprisonment. Are you involved in any litigation, anything to sue to, you know, involved in a lawsuit right now?
Right now, I haven't officially filed a lawsuit or anything, but, you know, definitely that's something I'm really, really thinking about. The young man, Alex, man, much love to that brother. You know, Detroit native, got 10 million. Yeah. Hey, shouts out to the organization Exoneree. He's a member of. They definitely went out and supported him and helped that happen, you know, and that's a big thing that we're talking about, you know. It's definitely something that I'm really thinking about, you know, doing. So, you know, it's definitely on the horizon. You know, if he got 10 million for 6 years, I did 25.
Right. Do the math on that one, right?
Do the math on that. Absolutely.
Yes. You are, Leon, you said you're an artist too.
Yeah.
You've got some music out. I'm trying to see if I can bring it up so we can listen to a little bit of it.
So, yeah, definitely. You know, hey, for everybody out there, you know, go check out L. Bentley 448.
L. That's your stage name.
That's my handle in the game. E-L Bentley, B-E-E-N-T-L-Y 448. Hey, go check out my new single I just dropped this week called Let Me Be. It's a spiritual homage to, you know, what I've been through, you know, Let Me Be. You know, it's soulful. I got the singer Dion Lucas from the Fame 7 Mile group that was with Mariah Carey, you know, singing a hook. You know, it was wrote by my brother. The hook was wrote by my brother, Aaron Staten, while we was inside. I wrote the verses, you know, produced it. It's coming off my record label, 448 Productions. This is my first release, and I'm telling y'all, it's going to touch all ages, everything, because it's the real story. You know, I'm the living story of Jesus, of Joseph, of Moses, all wrapped in one. I'm Tupac Shakur if he didn't die. I'm Jay-Z if he got caught with a brick and went to prison for 20 years and got out. And on top of that, I got on March 9th, the same day that the Notorious B.I.G. was killed. And you can't tell me, man, that the rap guys and God isn't on my side. Go check out that single, Let Me Be. You'll love the cover. You'll love what I represent. It's for the people. I'm back for everything. And that everything is the love and the building of my community and all hearts. Hallelujah.
See, I told you he was on a mission now. When you get a chance, if you can send me that to MP3, MP4 format, and I can drop it in. But Leon Benson, freed after 25 years of wrongful imprisonment in Indiana. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's a story that it's on so many levels, but it's also a spiritual story too. Thank you so much for talking about it here with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you too, Michael.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we got the latest in news and weather. We'll be right back after these messages.
You've waited long enough. You deserve this chance. Now is the time to get the royal treatment from Regina, the queen of car loans. Purchase your new car or truck at her new home, Joe Longhammer Chevrolet in Waterford.
Hi, this is Regina, the queen of car loans. Let me worry about your credit and down payment. Together we'll find a way. That's my job. I want you in the driver's seat. So let's look at your trade-in, your monthly payment, and do a credit review. Let's take advantage of Joe Longhammer's wide selection of cars and trucks so I can put you in a car today. It's okay to call me right now. 248-218-9808. Even though I'm the queen, I answer my own phone.
Hurry to the new home of Regina, the queen of car loans. Joe Lunghammer Chevrolet in Waterford, or call the Queen's Helpline at 248-218-9808. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Dream that far.
and Tools Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
That's Leon Benson, guys. That's him. They have left the studio, but he just sent me that music that just dropped. He's good. He's good. What a riveting story, and so many lessons, so many spiritual lessons in his story. Wow. All right. Look, let's get to some news, weather. The Sunday morning team, and I'm just going to kind of go through some of the latest news, and then we'll get to weather in a second. And TV host Wendy Williams has been diagnosed with some progressive dementia. There are some technical names for it. And some of it I was printing out this morning, and my printer blocked some of it off. But as you know, she's been had some health challenges and lost her radio program, television program over the years. We all knew that she was suffering. We didn't know what it was. But, of course, her family and friends are gathering around her as she goes through this degenerative condition. And also, a man, this is, I don't understand why people do this, but he had an illegal pet lizard called a Gila, G-I-L-A. It bit him. His girlfriend called 911 earlier this month to say that the reptile had bit her boyfriend, and he went into shock. And they were not able to revive him. He died this month. But he kept, that was one of two illegal pets that he kept, lizards. They said that this was the most venomous lizard, almost like some of these snakes. But he did not survive. They are the largest lizards in the United States. They grow up to about 22 inches long. They primarily live in northern Mexico and several southwestern U.S. states, including Arizona, California, New Mexico. The venom from a Gila monster, that's what they call it, is as toxic as of a western diamondback rattlesnake. They bite you for more than 10 minutes before they let go. That's serious. And it only takes a small amount of venom That's all it takes. But they say it's a painful bite, especially if they bite you for 10 minutes. It's a painful bite and very, very dangerous. Donald Trump has won another primary, Republican primary, South Carolina. Nikki Haley says that she's going to stay in the race. I hope she does. Let her stay in the race because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Speaker Johnson, House of Representatives, is facing international criticism over his lack of funding for Ukraine. That's a very difficult issue, Ukraine funding. We've already spent billions over there, but you know, we need to see some action. Fani Willis, the district attorney in Fulton County, Georgia, is waiting for a verdict in her own trial now about her affair with her lead prosecutor. It's messy right now, and I think it's going to even be messier now that the prosecution says that they can prove that Fani Willis lied on the stand. So we'll see where that goes. But there's supposed to be a ruling this week if they're going to pull her off the case or not. All right, Kimberly, how's the weather today? Kimberly.
Hey, Vantu.
Yeah.
I'm here.
I don't hear nobody else.
Did we drop, is the connection lost?
I'm still here.
So.
Oh, okay. Kimberly, you got the weather?
No, this was Nurse Nikki, so we're still here. Maybe she got dropped off the call.
Okay, because I was wondering what happened there.
Let me just check and see if she's still on.
Can you hear me?
We hear you now.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Had some issues there.
Sorry about that. So our temperature right now, it is beautiful and sunny. It's 31 degrees. Today's expected high is 48 with a low of 31. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies with a high of 52 and a low of 43. On Tuesday, we're expecting scattered showers with the possibility of strong thunderstorms with a high of 62 degrees and a low of 54. On Wednesday, rain and windy conditions will continue with a high of 57 and a low of 23. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies will return with a high of 37 and a low of 21. On Friday, partly cloudy skies will continue with a high of 50 and a low of 36. And on Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high of 58 and a low of 42. And that's the weather.
All right, not bad. It looks like it's going to be warmer as we go. Looks like it's going to warm up.
Okay, since we had some software issues here.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Were you able to hear the his music?
Yes.
Yes, it's
okay.
Great.
And did you hear the news?
Yes.
Okay, yes. great. Because I just kind of I lost. I could not hear anybody for a minute there. All right, so we're back. All right. This part of the program is brought to you by Cosine Productions and artist and playwright Dykema Matthews. Thanks for your support. Trillion Realty, servicing the state of Michigan, your trusted partner in your home journey. Call 313-566-3545, Trillion Realty. Selfishly Healthy, Nurse Nikki, what's up? Tell us what's on the schedule this morning.
Oh, well, today I just want to talk about doing what we love to do as being selfishly healthy. A lot of us are busy with our day-to-day life, and we don't take the time to do things that we really love to do. I had asked my son earlier this week, had he been met, which is something that he truly loved to do, especially when he was in high school. And now that he's, you know, working in the business finance world and married and has a young child, a toddler, he doesn't find the time to do things that he needs to do. And, you know, looked at an article, and it really talked about how doing what you love to do, despite whether or not it makes you money or not, is extremely beneficial and just as important because it really helps take away stress in your life. You know, when you're doing the things that you love to do, we typically feel really excited and really joyful. We laugh a lot more. We smile. And we know, maybe some of us don't know, but when we smile, that releases happy hormones in the body. It helps shift your mood. So it happens because of decreasing stress hormones and actually increasing the feel-good hormones in your body. So, you know, that was something I wanted to bring to the forefront, whether it's something you love. And then even doing a hobby, is even if you don't love the hobby, but just doing a hobby is something that can help provide stress relief, because what it does is it just expands your focus and it activates different areas of your brain that you don't normally use from day to day. And then another thing that I found when I was just looking at this article, of course, is a link to something else, and it talked about even doodling will help increase your memory by up to 29%. And so this is something I've done over the years. I said, maybe that's why I have such a good memory. But when you're in a boring meeting or listening to a phone call, a webinar, studies have shown that it's more likely that you will remember 29% of the content more if you doodle during the activity as opposed to staring off into space and daydreaming. So that's
really?
A takeaway. Yeah.
That helps. I used to think that people thought you were being distracted for something, but it actually helps, huh?
Yeah, it helps. They show 29% more memory retention. So they did a study like listening to a message that gave like 50 names of people attending a party, and the people that doodled during the message retain 29% more of what they heard versus the people that just listened to it. So it was very, very interesting. So we want to, one, create some balance in our life and doing something that you really love to do, whether it's cooking or a hobby or, you know, playing a guitar, an instrument, working out. These things help create balance in our life. We all need a work-life balance. And then it also helps increase your productivity. So that's what I wanted to bring to the forefront today.
Thanks. You know, the human body is so intricate, so technical, so advanced, that even if you smile, can you imagine that? It sends messages. So a smile can make you feel better. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that you can physically do, but it's also internal. It's internal. And I just imagine what, you know, good things, laughter, when you spend time, when you're happy, you know, it translates to happiness. You can be a happy person. That's why this gets right back to what Leon Benson was saying, who was wrongly imprisoned for 25 years, that, you know, a smile would have made a big difference to him as he's incarcerated. All those little things, and it just, you know, he you know, what a story to tell. If you go to leonbenson.org, you'll a whole bunch of stuff pulls up. I mean, there's news articles and his new rapping career. It's been really taken seriously. So, and I want to thank Valerie Buford, his sister, for referring him to me for the interview. Valerie Buford, thank you so much. I know she's probably listening to the program or will listen to it on the replay. But Valerie, thank you for referring your brother to me so that we can put his story out here. But leonbenson.org, and just Google it and all of that stuff, all of it comes up. All right. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, what you got for us today?
So, good morning. I have a wonderful story that I stumbled across. And it says, when a preschool was opened inside a dementia care home, all heaven broke loose. They say it takes a village to raise a child. Centered on that concept of communal flourishing, children living and learning together recently celebrated its official open. Simulation Learning Fund, these are activities that are known to delay the progression of dementia. And what better way to add these critical elements of life to a daily regimen than to let a flock of preschoolers do it? Belong is a not-for-profit care operation specializing in dementia care. They have care villages in England's Northwest and West Midlands regions. Now marking the latest dementia-friendly development, Belong welcomed the Lord Mayor of Cheshire, Sheila Little, to declare the latest village in the county officially open. The pioneering facility on City Road supports older people to live their lives independently. The national charity Ready Generations partnered with Belong to run the village's integrated day nursery. The nursery children feature in the daily life of residents and tenants, enjoying experiences together, including shared meals, stories, art and crafts, and exercise. It was a pleasure to look around the village and officially open Belong Chester and to meet staff and residents, said Lord Mayor Sheila Little. This is particularly exciting and innovative developmentally as it includes a nursery, which both benefits the children who attend and the residents who visit to play and read to them. I look forward to visiting again to see how the village is growing and developing. There are 400 adults in this assisted living center who join the kids in daily activities from music and dancing to storytelling and just plain visiting. A filmmaker named Evan Briggs launched a Kickstarter page to finish the documentary about the center called Present Perfect, which portrays what he calls the very real experience of aging in America, both growing up and growing old. I thought this was fascinating because you have two stages of life that are very similar. For people who are managing their older parents, and Michael, you know, you talked a lot about it when your mother was moving on, you know, to passing away, and your dad, and about different things that you have to do. And so many times we'll say we have to parent our parents, but this is a great approach to helping older people share the wisdom and knowledge of their life and still feel important and included, and then include the youngest of us in that. I just thought this was a great opportunity, and this is something that hopefully we could adopt here.
Yep, and I think that makes the older people feel so much more valued and excited.
Yes.
They're happy. That it's a great combination. The young and the old, it's intriguing. You know, the kids are intrigued because here's a much older person, and then the seniors are intrigued with the kids because they're so much younger, and you know, everything is, they're in an innocent stage and all that stuff, and it must brighten up their disposition. You know, it brightens them up. You know, and a lot of these assisted living centers, you know, my sister, and many of you, you know, if your parents were or are in places like that or will be, I know we would go as much as we can to go visit them, but there are a lot of people that don't get any visits at all. I mean,
that's right.
You know,
And I told my son, I told Cameron, hey, man, don't be in a rush to put us nowhere.
Right.
He told him already. Don't mm-hmm. be rushing us into no mm-hmm. assisted living center. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to let them know, because see, I know there are some of these places they can't wait to put their family members in there, and they mm-hmm. basically like drop them off and go.
Yeah.
Don't even go back. Don't even go mm-hmm. back on their birthdays. Don't go back on the holidays. Don't even go to visit. They can't wait to wheel them into these places and take off and leave and don't come mm-hmm. back. It's mm-hmm. some real cool people out here. But that's a good feel good story. Thanks for sharing that. All right, Henrietta Ivy, what you got coming up?
Well, you know, if there is the presidential early election going on Tuesday, February 27th. Just want to remind the community to please get out and use your vote. I know there was not a lot of information given out about this early election. Myself and a couple of other activists were talking about how it was, you know, how this was done, how that, you know, we moved the early primary to now, but there was no noise about it. It was like it was, you know, you hear about it, you didn't hear about it. Some people knew, a lot of people didn't know. And, it's a kind of scary situation to why the Democratic Party didn't really push this as big as they should have pushed it, knowing that this is what the change was. So
there's only one question on there, too. There's only one question.
Exactly.
Who do you want for president?
Exactly.
And Henrietta, you know, I'm a chairperson at my polling center. It's six precincts in that building. I'm at Mann School mm-hmm. On the mm-hmm. west side of Detroit near Plymouth and Evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm predicting that it's going to be such a low turnout.
It's very low turnout.
It's going to be low. I'm telling you, I don't feel any excitement or energy around this town.
A lot of people
they probably don't even realize it's coming up on Tuesday.
They don't. The reason why my people in where I live over here in Precinct 286, I kind of know about it because myself, along with O'Hara president and our committee, is that we have a page called O'Hara Park Community page. And so I've been posting in there. Just so, you know, because we get a lot of people who read that as their informational, for information. And that was how we were able to reach out to the voters in 286. And me just, you know, talking to the neighbors, you know, doing a little drive-through through the neighborhoods, kind of like, you know, knocking doors and, you know, just asking people in my precinct, hey, did you know that, you know, there's an early presidential election? And a lot of them didn't know, but a lot of them did know, and they were going to be participating. And, of course, you had some that's like, you know, it doesn't matter. They're going to choose what they want. The same conversation we get because people are just lazy about their vote. And I can kind of understand that. Look, I have to be honest about the choices we have out here. Like, we have two people.
I don't like the choices. I don't like the choices
I don't.
You know, Michelle Obama's name popped up for the first time seriously 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Gavin Newsom, governor of California, his name keeps coming
mm-hmm.
up.
I honestly don't think
it's going to be Trump and Biden by the time November gets here.
I don't either. I think there's a big surprise behind the curtain.
Yes, this is not over. This is going to be a shocker. All I can say is that the Democrats are going to come out with somebody fresher and younger, and it might be Michelle Obama, it might be Gavin Newsom, but I think they call it an October surprise. I think it's going to be before
mm-hmm.
October, but there's something that's going to shake up this race.
It's something.
I think Trump's going to get convicted, and he possibly could be sentenced
mm-hmm.
before November. Nikki Haley mm-hmm. better stay in the race. No wonder she's saying, and she knows that anything
exactly.
can happen. She knows that anything can happen. I don't know what you guys, what do you think is going to happen? And I want to see what you guys feel. Henrietta,
I'll say this. I'm going to throw this in here because, you know, when you think about electing someone to represent the country, when you think about someone representing your state, your district, you have to really pay attention to what comes out of their mouth.
Yes.
Because what they say is what they who they are and what they actually feel. I think these conversations we think about Trump and all the rhetoric that's coming out of his mouth, if people are still thinking that's a good choice, it's got to be something better on the horizon, and they're just letting it play out, and I'm all for that. But here's a quick article from the Associated Press where it stated that Trump says his criminal indictment boosts his appeal to black voters. I'm just going to read a short.
That's racist.
Former President Donald Trump claimed Friday that his four criminal indictments have boosted his support among black Americans because they see him as a victim of discrimination, comparing his legal journey to the historic legacy of anti-black prejudice in the United States legal system. I'm going to stop right there. That just goes to show the narcissistic thinking of this man. Like, what in the world make you think that you could compare yourself to what black folks have been through injustice? You cannot. But he's
right, and I don't have those same
with black voters, and they buy into it. And it's very hurtful to think that we buy, or anybody, but I'm black, so I'm going to speak on the black end of things. It's hurtful to think that my people, Republican and or Democrat, will listen to something like this and think that it is okay for this man to compare himself when he was part of the racism against black people. So
right, and I don't share those feelings with him. I don't share those experiences, and I don't share those experiences, and I don't share any experiences, like-minded experiences with him, you know.
At all.
How insulting. How insulting.
But he also, you know, he thinks, let me go on and say, he argues that he is the victim of political persecution, even though there is no evidence President Joe Biden or the White House officials influenced the filing of 91 felony charges against him. Now, the fact that there is no evidence that Biden had anything, Trump is in trouble on his own, but he's blaming other people for getting him in trouble, and they're trying to get him in trouble. No, sweetheart, you are in trouble by yourself. You stand alone. But he's good at, you know, perpetuating things that's not true. He's very good at that. And people will listen because they keep going back to this idea. Well, he had the apprentice, and he was, you know, people find the craziest things to relate why they support somebody, and it has nothing to do with making our country or our communities better. Nothing.
No, and if you listen to
and
some of his supporters. Yeah, if you listen to some of his supporters, I watched some interviews where Fox News interviewed some Trump supporters, and I noticed one thing, each of them did the same. They said, who did you vote for, Donald Trump? Why did you vote for him? They always paused because they have to stick their head in the sand to all the crap that he's done in order to support him. How do you sleep at night knowing he did all that stuff and you still support him? They have to pause and they say, well, he's and they go for something generic like he's a strong leader. He was effective when they don't go to anything specific. They go, he made our country stronger. No, you like him because he does things that you want him to do because he is a liar and a racist, and he does a lot of things that are hurting people of color, people that have no income, people who are powerless. There's a lot of things that they have to cover up. The way he treats women, the way he talks about women, his indictments, his, you know, his lies.
All that.
There's so
he's
many
just a straight-up liar. I mean,
yeah,
unless
so
this country really
wrong.
Want to put a lying person in office, and if this is the direction that our future generation moving forward feels that a good lie is okay, or they feel like you don't have to have, you can just be a namesake. If we're going to continue to follow on these you know, things that we find as leaders, I feel sorry for my grandchildren's generation and the young people before, and having my grandchildren. This is not a good look for future politics that's going to look good in any communities of disadvantaged color, poor, low income, and immigrant community. I'm not going to have a good future if our people continue to vote in the way that they've been voting and not voting at all. So I wanted to end it with, you know, the fact that when we're out here voting, I say this all the time when I'm talking and when I'm teaching voting education, learn your leadership. Yeah. Do not just use your vote as a tool, say, well, I voted. Anybody can just say, I voted. But if you don't know why you're voting, what you're voting for, and who you're voting for, what's the purpose? Because if you're voting and you're voting for the wrong purposes, or you're not understanding what is being said on that ballot, it can still hurt our community and our country. So I tell people, please, please, please be mindful that the 27th is a voting day. It's early voting, primary for the presidential race, and to also dig deep and do your research on who all the candidates are running in this presidential election and other elections that's coming up this year as well.
Excellent. Thanks. I have to be at my polling site at 5 a.m. Tuesday morning. I think it's going to be a real easy day. I don't think we're going to get too many. And that's just unfortunate. And I just wonder how much mm-hmm. money was spent on doing the election on Tuesday. All the money, all the paper, all the ballots,
mm-hmm.
The staff, all that for one question. You know, mm-hmm. who do you want for president? Are you Democrat or Republican? You know, it asks you that too.
I've never seen it that short. That's what bothers me. Like, it's only one question on here.
Right.
Number two, Democrat or Republican. That's the ballot, Democrat or Republican.
Right.
That
and
tells
then,
me like there's something else is going on.
Yep.
It's like you said earlier, Michael. It's got to be a backing person that the Democratic National Party or committee is pushing for. But they're putting those two options out, but it's got to be somebody else to pick. I don't even hear them saying a lot about Joe Biden. I hear some noise about Joe Biden from the Democratic committee.
Hey, big bro.
It's not a lot of conversation like it was when he was running in the beginning.
You know, Kimberly, are you comfortable with Joe Biden and Trump, and who would you put in to replace Biden?
So this is a question that I've had with many people, and I'm going to tell you three words for Trump. Central Park Five. We just talked to Leon Benson. Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
went on a crusade to crucify
yes,
those young men that did not
mm-hmm.
do anything to that Central Park job.
Oh, I remember New York.
That.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Remember
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
That should automatically cast him aside for anybody. Having said
mm-hmm.
that, I do believe that our Vice President Kamala Harris will be replaced with Gavin Newsom. That's what I predict. And then that
Ooh,
will make
I did not
President
I didn't think I didn't think about that one. Oh, wow.
Something
okay.
something to happen where she will have to step down, or she will say, I need to step down and step back to attend to personal matters, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And Gavin
mm-hmm.
Newsom will step into that role. And then you will have more potential for people to support President Biden because he has
mm-hmm.
a younger white male under him.
You know,
after,
mm-hmm. we're going to go back. We need to pull this program and rerun it later this year because we ain't seen nothing yet. Oh,
definitely something in the fire.
Because,
oh, it is. And let's also
yeah.
say this, too. T. Haley lost her own stage.
Yes,
I know, Michael, you keep saying that she should stay in it, but she lost her own state. That means that her own people don't believe in her. They are still
yeah.
ready to believe the antics of this president.
I know. Isn't
Jeff
that
Nancy.
Crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It is
mm-hmm.
crazy.
Oh,
and he even said, because it's on national television across all the media outlets, where he
mm-hmm.
said at whatever this place where he was at, where he said, oh, yeah, the black people are supporting me. He was saying that Fox News came out and said, yes, black people are connecting with the Trump campaign because of these god-awful gym shoes that he created for $399. And then he kept saying, the lights are so bright. The lights are so bright in this room that I can only see the black people.
All I see is the black
I can't see no white people. I said,
but I can
these
see the
are
black
dog
ones.
Whistles. Yeah, I said, these are dog whistles. Can y'all, seriously?
Wow.
I'm like, we need to stop. People need to pay attention. And, yes, I do believe this was done intentionally because typically presidential elections usually garner more people, but it's usually more on the ballot. You have one issue. People aren't coming to the ballot. Michael, you might have 50 people that show up for a whole day.
I know.
And
I better take I better take a book with me to read because I better take a book.
Let
me hear. Nurse Nikki, what do you think? Let's put your political cap on right now. What do you see this year in the presidential race?
Oh, I'm so hardly political, but I do keep up with some of the
I know, that's why I wanna hear from somebody that's not political.
What I think is that Biden probably won't physically make it through. And like you said, that Trump will probably get convicted or something and pushed out of the race, and Kamala will be pushed into the office. I think some crazy
there
stuff
is a strategy going on for sure.
Yeah, I think something really crazy is going to happen. And it's just at this point, you know, we can engage. But I read something a long time ago, and I tend to believe it, that everything that happens in politics is already planned. You know, so we can do everything we want to do, vote, but the person that they want in power is going to be in power.
Yeah, I believe that there's some discussions going behind the scenes that we don't know about that is getting ready to switch up the whole thing. We got 3 minutes left. This was a very engaging show today. I really appreciate it. What a riveting story from Leon Benson, convicted of first-degree murder. Sentenced to 60 years in prison, and what a story! What a spiritual story too. And now he's out doing everything he can. What a changed person! Because now he's got this panel thing going in Indianapolis in 2 weeks. He's got his rap career seriously launched. I was looking through the news articles. He's on his way. He has a mission now. I'm going to go back and listen to this show again. I'm probably going to end up rerunning it a few times this year. But thanks, guys, for information and your great questions to Leon Benson and the discussion about the presidential race. We ain't seen nothing yet. This is not over.
It is not over.
November is going to be really interesting, but I think there's going to be some huge changes, and it's going to include both Biden and Donald Trump. Let me just say this before we go. I watched Joe Biden walk, and it looks like he's going to trip and fall every time. I'm like, come on, let's get a backup plan going. But anyway, have a great day today.
I think it is, Michael. I think there is a backup plan. I tell you this, it's not. This race is going to be very surprising when November comes. It's not what we think it is. So keep your eyes open.
And you have the last word. God bless you all. Be safe today. Enjoy your Sunday.
God bless.
See you next time.
God bless everyone.
Okay, bless you.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert, today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Everything is going to be all right. Hold your head up high. Look up to the sky.